Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, all. Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Go check out reallifepharmacology.com. I've got a great resource on there, absolutely free, top 200 drugs, a little study guide. It's a 31-page PDF, simply an email subscribing to the podcast email list. We also get you updates on when we've got new podcasts available and other content. And with that email, you can get access at no cost to you to that top 200 study guide. So no-brainer definitely to have that, whether you're out in practice or preparing to become a healthcare professional. The drug of the day today is Valsartan. Brand name of this medication is Diovan. And in clinical practice, I will say I see this drug quite a bit still. It is an ARB, so that's an angiotensin receptor blocker. So think of ARBs and ACE inhibitors like lisinopril, very similar. Major difference being mechanism of action and adverse effects are the big differences there, and we'll obviously get into that a little bit. So mechanistically, being an angiotensin receptor blocker, what's the big deal with that? Well, angiotensin 2 actually binds to angiotensin receptors, and when that happens, you get vasoconstriction, so vessels tighten up, which causes an elevation in blood pressure. Okay, it also causes aldosterone secretion as well when angiotensin 2, as part of angiotensin 2's activity. Also, one other thing I wanted to mention, ARBs have less bradykinin effects compared to ACE inhibitors. So that's where we get less of the risk of cough adverse effects. So patients on ACE inhibitors, they have cough adverse effect. We can typically switch them to an ARB like Valsartan without issues. So uses, that's going to fall in line with a little bit of common sense and how mechanistically the drug works. So lowering blood pressure, so useful for hypertension. But we've also got compelling indications such as ACS reduction risk and proteinuric renal disease as well there. Now, a couple of differentiating factors. I would say I probably see Losartan used the most of the ARBs compared to Valsartan and Olmesartan and some of the others, at least in clinical practice. So comparing Valsartan to Losartan, the biggest differences are, one, Losartan maybe has a little bit of effect on uric acid. It can potentially reduce that, whereas Valsartan in the literature doesn't seem to do that as much. And then the other somewhat significant difference, in my opinion, is Valsartan tends to have a little bit longer half-life and how long that drug works. So usually for hypertension management, for example, we can get by with once daily dosing with Valsartan. And Losartan, whether you can get by with once daily dosing or not, is kind of a little bit up in the air, or it's less likely that you're going to get by with once daily dosing because that half-life is significantly shorter than the half-life of Valsartan. I want to briefly mention dosing. I'll do that now. So dosing for Valsartan, Standard dosages range from 40 to 320 milligrams. Starting or initial dose for most patients will probably fall in that 40 to 80 milligrams once a day. And then obviously we can titrate up from there, particularly if we're using for hypertension there. Keep an eye out for a few clinical factors when we're starting valsartan. So patients with poor renal function may be at higher risk of going into acute renal failure. And then there's some drug interactions as well, which I'll cover, that may increase that risk. Obviously, elderly tend to be a little bit more sensitive to adverse effects and things like that. So particularly hypotension. So pay attention to that when starting the medication. And then, of course, if you got a patient with borderline hyperkalemia, you know, you got somebody in the low fives, that's a patient that's probably a little bit more at risk for getting significantly hyperkalemic and obviously displaying some of the signs and symptoms of hyperkalemia. So those are some big clinical things to look out for, and then obviously things we're going to monitor as well with renal function and potassium levels being the most important there, along with what we're likely clinically using the medication for in blood pressure. So that's the biggest things on the adverse effect profile. There is rare risk for angioedema. And then, of course, always remember the boxed warning on ARBs and ACE inhibitors for pregnancy. These drugs can cause fetal toxicity, so they absolutely should not be used in pregnancy. Very, very important fact there. Half-life, I alluded to a little bit before in regards to dosing it once a day versus twice a day. So half-life for valsartan is reported at 24 hours. So again, we can usually get by with once daily dosing there. Comparing that to losartan, which is the drug I probably see most often of the ARBs class, losartan has a half-life in the range of 5 to 9 hours. So you can definitely understand that it's a little bit longer with valsartan. Elimination. So this is a nice thing where we don't really have to worry too much about CYP drug interactions with valsartan. So that's really good. Primarily elimination. Drug is unchanged in the urine and feces. So again, don't have to worry too much about those CYP drug interactions. And then in black patients, little clinical pearl here, the drug may be a little bit less effective. So that's an important thing to pay attention to there as well. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, ambulatory care, BCGP, BCMTMS, or any others, go check out meded101.com/store. We've got a growing list of resources there that have helped thousands of pharmacists and students pass their board exams. So go check that out. Support the sponsor. If you're a nurse, nurse practitioner, other healthcare professional, we've got tons of books on case studies, polypharmacy, lots of good real-world clinical pearls. So all those links to all our books, everything, meded101.com/store, STORE. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. So first and foremost, don't use ACE inhibitors with ARBs. I have seen it in my career a few times. Many times it's been in error or the patient didn't get the message to stop taking their ACE inhibitor when they started an ARB. But don't use those together. Increased risk for hyperkalemia, increased risk for acute renal failure as well there. Other drugs that increase potassium, so we could have some additive effects when we add on an ARB to patients taking spironolactone, for example, which that combination can potentially be used in patients particularly with heart failure, so I've seen that quite a bit. Trimethoprim is an antibiotic that can raise potassium levels as well, so using it in combination with an ARB like valsartan can kick that potassium level up. And then, of course, lower blood pressure. Any drug that causes hypotension could have additive effects. So PDE5 inhibitors, alpha blockers, virtually any blood pressure lowering medication can fall into that category. And on the flip side, We can have drugs that cause blood pressure to go up and really counteract the effects of valsartan. So stimulants, caffeine, corticosteroids, NSAIDs, these are all drugs that can potentially raise blood pressure and oppose the beneficial effects of valsartan. And then lastly, I did want to mention renal failure. So acute renal failure, that risk goes up when we use certain medications. So using valsartan with NSAIDs, with aminoglycosides, with diuretics, maybe with vancomycin even, these are all situations where that risk for acute renal failure goes up. So that's those are patients that you really want to be hyper-focused on that renal function as we add medications and or increase dosages of any of the ones that I listed there. So pay attention to that. That's a really, really important thing to monitor. And I've definitely seen numerous cases of acute renal failure involving ARBs and NSAIDs and all sorts of different combinations of kind of drugs that can insult or cause injury to the kidney. All right, well, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Share us with your classmates, colleagues, friends, any healthcare professionals that you know. We are trying to teach as many people as possible about pharmacology because there's definitely a lot of learning gaps out there. It's what I do every day, trying to prevent drug therapy problems and trying to help nurses and physicians and other pharmacists use medications as best as we can. If you want to track me down, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP, you can connect with me on LinkedIn, MedEducation101@gmail.com is my direct email. I do my best to respond to every email that I get, so please grant me a little patience there as I do get a fair number. With that said, thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to take time to support the sponsor, meded101.com/store, and I will catch you on the next episode.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.